All right, why don't we start? Hopefully, as you walk through some of the reminders of our goals, that may help you think through answering some of these questions. We'll come back to these. I'd say what we're mostly looking for is just a way of trying to remember the prayers that we studied, think about some of the things that we learned, and especially how they might have connected back to the goals. And I'd love to hear from you. I'm hoping that you'll share some of the things that caught your attention and were very meaningful to you as we went through the study on these various prayers. It'll also help me because I missed a couple of classes, and I'm hoping what you say about those prayers, where Bill's taught and I wasn't here, that would be useful to me. I think you might have missed one. Did you miss one?
No, I didn't miss any classes.
You didn't miss any classes? Well, then Bill benefited from all the teaching that I did. That was good. This is the title, again, looking to prayer to be a source of spiritual growth. It'll be interesting when we come through and we try to think about that last goal. How are our prayers beginning to make us more like Christ? Not just reminders about being more like Christ, but actually the prayers themselves helping to change us. There's a couple of places up here. And here are our goals. You probably saw them already as we went through on your sheet. It talks about praying more frequently and fervently. What was our second goal? You can cheat. It's on the sheet. Yeah, and remembering both of those, it's not just the language, but it's the principles too. There is room in here. The second one, or the third one, is being more aware of the needs of others for whom we ought to pray. And in this case, there's one prayer in particular where it's interesting who he chooses to pray for and what he knows about them or not. There's a spot there. And in the fourth one, as we said, be made more like Christ in the effects of our prayer. See, they like to sit together. All right, so let's start our class review here. What we're going to do is, at the beginning, we have each one of these prayers, and what I'll do is I'll assign a reader. Let's listen very carefully to it. As we read through the prayer, think about what you're hearing in the portion of the reading that Paul's praying that relates back to these four goals. And try to remember what, when we studied it, what was meaningful to you. You might make some notes in the sheet of paper if that helps you. Well, let's use this reading as a time to remind us of the content of these prayers as we go through. So we'll start with Michael and ask him to read 2 Thessalonians 1, 3 through 12. This had to do with the framework of prayer. So you'll see some of the things that typically go into our prayer. Petition, thanksgiving, praise, those types of things. So, Michael, if you'll read this one. That'd be great.
Okay. We are bound to thank God always for you, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who troubled you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the day and from the glory of his power when he comes. In that day, to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired among those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Therefore, we also pray always for you.
And just real quickly, related to those goals, do you see anything in here that talks about or speaks to the frequency and fervency of prayer? Yeah. Beginning and end, right? We're bound to thank God always for you, therefore we also pray always for you. And so you have that, at least the frequency side of that. You also have the thanksgiving to God, as I said, some words about the praise of God. There's our framework, if you will, of prayer. Here's 1 Thessalonians 3, 9 to 13. Dan, you mind reading this one?
So much thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake, before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints.
Okay, frequency, size, fervency, what do you see?
Exceedingly.
Praying. Yes, praying exceedingly. There's a little bit of that fervency, right?
Night and day.
So the time period in which you do it. As far as Paul and the Thessalonians, is there a relationship already established there? That'll be important later when we look at one of the other ones.
Where is he standing?
Yeah, he had actually founded that church, felt like a father, even a mother to them. Although he had not been able to spend as much time with them as he wanted, you can tell that since he's not able to be with them, what he is able to do is to pray for them, and it's very important to him. The other thing is, toward the end, what exactly is he asking? What's his petition would be the result for them?
You increase and abound in love to one another.
Okay, there's one.
Their hearts be blameless.
And then that their hearts would be blameless. So that first part about the abounding in love to one another and to all, I think we could even relate that back to our goal of knowing the needs of others, concerned about them, being sure to pray for them. But that last part, that your hearts would be blameless in holiness, just keep that idea when we read through the rest of these prayers, how many times what he's praying for is them to have the fruits of righteousness, for them to be, to actually be like Christ, to be what God wants them to be, that something would change them. And in particular, we'll see in a couple of prayers, what he asked for that would change them is an important thing for us to keep in mind. All right. Ryan, you mind reading? I'm going to have to pick on the right side here in a minute. Colossians 1, 9 through 12.
For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light.
So what was the interesting thing about Paul in the Colossians? That we can't... He never met them. He'd never seen them. But he did know about them. Do you remember how he knew about them? Paul's in prison in Rome. How had word come to him of the Colossians? I don't remember his name either. I know you don't
remember. Epaphras?
Yeah, that's what came to my mind, but I didn't know for sure. But confirmation. Epaphras comes to him and knows about the Colossians and tells them all about them. Here's a group of Christians in a place, he doesn't really know them. He knows a couple of people maybe there, but he doesn't really know much about that. And yet, what is on his mind to pray for? What, again, look at the petitions for them. Did you catch some of what they should have? There's like a long list. Yeah, there's that fruitful in every good work. That was one. All right, and that's, I'm going to come back to that as a key in a minute. So those are two. Who else sees one up there?
To be filled with the knowledge.
Yeah, filled, back up to the top, filled with the knowledge, which fits with the increasing in the knowledge. The reason why he wanted them to be filled with that knowledge, increasing in the knowledge, is because he could see that that's the connecting point to drive them forward to be a different person. The more they knew about God, the more wisdom they had, the more spiritual understanding, the more they would be able to walk worthy of the Lord, be fully pleasing, be doing fruitful in every good work, strengthened with all might. You see the kinds of things he had in mind there in that prayer. Okay. Well, let's move on. That was a prayer for the Colossians. He didn't know them that well. For the Philippians, Larry, do you mind reading 9 to 11?
And this I pray, that
your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things which are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of his righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God.
Is there a phrase or two in here that sounds familiar to what we just read? Colossians?
Fruit.
Yeah. You see that again? Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. But what about the Philippians? It's his relationship with the Philippians like it was with the Colossians. He really knew them, right? He had gone through, this is another place where he had helped to establish the church. But in the fourth chapter of Philippians, he talks about how they had this ongoing relationship. The Philippians were constantly serving his needs, providing for him when he was in other places. And so there's a nice part of it. Is there a reflection here in this prayer on their behalf that they are doing well?
Mm-hmm. Abound still more and more.
Yeah, so you must have something already, but I want you to abound more what you already have. That's a wonderful prayer for people that he knew well, that he knew were doing well, and yet he wanted much more for them. And I guess the other thing to say about the Philippians is that letter, he's not that critical as in other places of problems and all. There's some things, but not nearly the same. This is Romans 15, Marissa, I'm going to ask you to read this in a second. I think this is like, In many ways, this is closer to our prayer. Did some of those prayers seem a little bit, he's on a level up here, and you know how prayers are. But in this one, there's a nice combination of these same kind of spiritual thoughts, important things, but there's some just practical, the kind of stuff I think we do pray for. And at least four things, and we'll talk about whether they got answered or not. So Marissa, how about reading this one?
Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God, and may be refreshed together with you. Now the God of peace be with you all.
There is a place up here. So if you're back to our first goal, do you see anything in here that speaks to at least the fervency of prayers? What do you see in that?
Driving.
Yes, and when we looked at that word, it's the discipline of an athlete. It's that extra effort. It's something somehow or another in their prayers are actually working. He wanted them to do this together. He prays for four things here, and they're relatively practical or more tangible things, I guess, in some ways, than a lot of what we've looked at. What's the first thing that he wants? What's his petition? Okay. So do we ever ask for safety and deliverance, and, you know, we're about to face a difficult circumstance and we want to make it through it? Do we pray for that?
Sure.
That's part of what he's doing. The second thing was what? Yeah, that his service would be acceptable to the saints. Do we ever pray that some work that we're doing, some effort, is going to be successful, is going to reach a conclusion and work out okay? And that's what he's looking for. He's going to down Jerusalem carrying funds along with others. He wants that to be acceptable. What about the third one?
Joy.
Come to enjoy. Do you ever pray for safety on a travel? That you would get somewhere, that you'd be able to be reunited with somebody, maybe someone that you don't exactly know when you're going to get to see each other again, but you want to, so you're praying for that. There's that side of it. And then finally, and we broke this into the latter part of it, that they would be refreshed together. That time together would actually be beneficial. We would enjoy it. It would be good for us. It would be good for them. It would be good for me. You pray for those kinds of things? I think so. And was the prayer answered? This is a yes-no question. Was his prayer answered?
Yes. God always answers.
Oh, there you go. That's right. Did he get what he asked for? That's how I rephrase the question. Did he get his specific request? You can do those things on the floor. Did he get his specific request answered?
Yes.
Yes.
Not the way.
Not the way. Yeah, you can't hold on to that yes, no, can you? We got to add to it because he does end up going to Rome and seeing them, but it's a longer story we have today. All right, a couple of more prayers and we'll start to move back to the questions. This was one Bill did, praying to the sovereign God. So Bill, why don't you read this for us? And you did several classes, but I remember.
Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease in giving thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power in which He worked in us, in Christ, which when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places.
Frequency?
Frequency.
Yeah, and that sounds to me, I don't know why, more than just frequency, like I don't stop, there's some intensity to that too. I mean, anything you're going to do without ceasing seems to show that. What do you see some phrases in here that by now seem familiar as we've gone through these prayers, looking at them one after another? What shows up?
The wisdom.
The wisdom requested for that, for them to have that wisdom.
Knowledge.
Yep, knowledge. It, knowing what God wants us to know is so essential. And it was on the mind of Paul all the time. He wanted them to have understanding. He wanted them to have knowledge. God's offering something to them. He wanted them to get it. In fact, here the way he puts it, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Okay. End result. Yeah, all this is actually coming back to knowledge and all. But as we pointed out too, we've become the inheritance for God, which is a part of that change in us. All right, this is the last one. Great prayer. This is praying for power that these good things would happen for us. So, David, Master, you want to read that for us, please?
For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
I hope part of what stands out in this prayer is the praise that he's giving about God. It actually is primarily a prayer of petition. But in that petition, it's as if I'm going to ask God for this, how can I stop not expressing how capable He is of both answering the prayer and going way beyond the prayer itself? And He just, it's like He got started and He couldn't stop launching into this wonderful praise about the power of God. If you compare this prayer to the one in Romans, that Romans is a little closer to the way that we pray, this one sound like your prayer?
Uh-huh.
It's not capturing mine, okay? And even when we're aware of the need to praise God, and we do in our prayer, does it come quite to the standard here at the end about that's what we mean by this language and the principle. Not that you use a bunch of words that you don't really know, but that you begin to think more richly about God and use these kinds of words and thoughts about Him and express those. That would be part of what we would hope would be the case. Alright, that's a quick sketch through some of the main prayers. We actually looked at some other prayers. We looked at the Lord's Prayer. We looked at some prayers in the Old Testament. I think may not even been part of the lesson sheet, but Bill took us to some of those. So we've had other good examples of prayers, but these seven, I think in particular, were the ones we focused on in different classes. All right, so back to our questions. We'll spend the rest of our time really with this. This first question, I'm curious, if you had to pick two or three that you thought were especially helpful to you or that changed you in some way, what was one? What was one for you? Somebody willing to speak up as you remember these prayers. Yes, Michelle.
Well, I think the prayer for passion for people and the prayer list that we have.
Okay.
Praying for the people.
And where was the one for passion for people?
First Thessalonians.
Okay. 1 Thessalonians 3. So one thing that was helpful in the class, remember, we did put together a list of those for whom we wanted to be praying. We've even got a couple of class members not here that asked for prayers while they're gone. I remember that one. There were many other special needs within families. That list should be helpful in helping us in this prayer. In which goal? And knowing about them, first of all, and then actually using them and remembering them in our prayers. Thank you, Michelle. What else?
It helps you feel closer to your brethren, too, when you know the things that they're struggling with or facing.
See more of the connection into your own life, too. Easier to bring them up in mind.
I'm really hoping I didn't teach this one that I'm about to mention. I can't remember anymore. But, I mean, so the prayer for power was good for me. I taught that one. But the framework of prayer was also really good. And I think for two very different reasons. I think the idea of the prayer for the praying for power helped me conceptually think about prayer in a way that I didn't really think about prayer. Just the power in prayer all the time. And then the framework of prayer, for me at least, was more of a practical, like, I can apply these things to my prayer today. I can pray for this thing. I can pray for this thing. So, those were two very different kinds of prayers that I feel like were special to me, but also affected my personal prayer life.
One on a more practical basis, one on maybe a deeper, richer.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Yes.
I like the prayer to the Father and God. I think they'll really emphasize that we are God's heirs. And so it's kind of like you can trust the one that you're praying to. I think you can trust God.
Yeah, if you didn't hear all that, that was about the sovereign God. That's the first chapter of Ephesians. And the reminder that we are God's inheritance. He has established things in a way that he then has the benefit of us, which puts great value on us. But it also said we have that kind of value, then it must be really important to God. When I question or wonder about that, he's gone to all this effort in order to inherit me, that's a helpful thought. Right? What else? What was another prayer that you remember, Larry?
I particularly like Ephesians 3:14-21, a power prayer. He talks about that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, all the riches that he was able to give to us, and to be sprinkled with might. And that our hearts and our faith may be rooted and grounded. That's more than just praying for things. That's that fervency. Mm-hmm. That's that intensity that you spoke a while ago, that we're actually grounded in these things. It's deep in our fabric, deep in our soul, to love one another, love Christ, love God, and also be grounded and rooted. And that's a firmness, a foundation there.
Wanting that to be our very
What else? Yeah. So, I don't even remember all the places that I showed up. I've been through it multiple times. But the idea of praying for knowledge and knowing God's will, which you mentioned multiple times, I've always prayed for that for myself, that I would know God's will.
Yes.
Because I have an understanding of Him. I never really thought to pray that for anybody else. And I don't know why. But to be able to ask for increased knowledge and faith for it, even those that are already teaching the gospel, as the Philippians were,
right?
Those kind of things are. God finds it definitely for me to pray that He wants me to pray.
And if you think about that, that did come up in a lot of different ways. For one thing, if you have that list of those that all of you ask for prayers. there were a number of those that talked about someone you knew that was either struggling in their faith or didn't have faith in God, and you wanted them to have. So you were asking for, and if we pray through that list, we've done some of this as a result of that very type of prayer. But there were other ways too. You know, he wanted, one of the things that Paul asked them to pray for him was that he would have boldness while he was in prison to preach, and that, you know, you would just have the courage to do the right thing. Can we pray that prayer on behalf of people here, people elsewhere? We know they're out preaching the gospel. Those are great opportunities to do that. Yeah, very good. A lot of ways that connects back into the class, that particular prayer. Who else? What else do you remember, Marissa?
Ephesians 1, talking about the sovereign God, and looking especially, like where it talks about that the eyes of our hearts may be, of our heart may be enlightened, and understanding the hope. And I think throughout multiple prayers we see that hope that Paul's reminding us of, and being reminded that there is a hope that we have, was a huge help for me.
Right. And didn't you like that phrase, even just the eyes of your heart? It's more than just knowing it. It's that you're somehow opened up to the real meaning of it from within. Yeah, that's good. What else? Yes, please.
So I thought this, the Colossians one, was named well for being a challenge, because I really thought it was a bit more of a stretch. And I've always been a big fan of the way he talks to the Thessalonians and how it's like a mother, father, and when you teach someone and it's you who physically teaches them, you get that. Like,
yes.
You are my child, and I trust you naturally. I'm going to love you and be concerned for you. But the way that he kind of adopts the Colossians,
uh-huh,
I think that's a beautiful picture of God's adoption, because it's a love that comes about because of the need. It's a love that comes about because you are serving and you are deciding to be aware of them, not because you forget them. And it's a really good challenge and reminder for us to look outside of perhaps the people we could reach or the people we want to influence, and just look out for what others need.
That's a great point. And if you think about it for a moment about those Colossians, there's several reasons why Paul might have felt that connection with him. But I think it begins with Epaphras, right? So he did know Epaphras. He's got that face-to-face relationship with him. Did the Colossians matter to Epaphras? And if you look back, if you get a chance later, go to the fourth chapter of Colossians. When he talks about Epaphras, he actually almost recites a prayer of Epaphras, which is short, about a sentence or two that he has to say about his prayer. But you can almost take our four goals and fit them into those sentences. If the Colossians mattered to Epaphras, and Paul had a good relationship with Epaphras, should the Colossians have mattered to Paul? Yeah. But I think they did in a broader way anyway, because they were Christians, they were his brothers and sisters. He didn't really know them that well, but he cared about them. But it made a bigger difference that someone he was close with said, here are these people, and I'm really concerned for them, and I want these things to take place for them. I think we do that a lot here, which is just how much does it filter back into our prayers and our thoughts. You learn about all kinds of people through the folks you're close to, their families, their neighbors, their friends. And we've had times when we prayed very hard for people we don't really know. I'm thinking of the neighbors of the Ingles. Right? You might have met them, but virtually none of the rest of the class have met them yet. We prayed very intensely for the father who'd been in an auto accident. Those are the kinds of things where you have those connections. That's good. What else? Anyone else?
Along with that, I'd say the brothers and sisters that we don't even know in these other areas that we need to be closer to, but I'm feeling a lot of times in these small communities they might be praying more for us than I am for them.
Yeah. And, you know, you travel to places, you barely get to know people a little bit, but there's a chance to know enough about them to continue to pray for them. Let's look at this second part. It kind of continues the same dialogue that we're having. Those four goals, what I'm really looking for is, I'd like to know, first of all, if you want to volunteer where you think you've kind of made some progress, how the class has helped you in those goals. The whole idea of the goals, for those of you that have not been here throughout, is that what we want to take place is by the end of our study, we're at the end. So now we get to look back and grade ourselves how well this happened. Are we praying more frequently and fervently than we were when we began the class? Are biblical principles and language coming into our prayers in ways that they weren't, perhaps, 6.5 weeks ago? Do we have a greater awareness of the needs of those for whom we should be praying? And then finally, has this class and the prayers that you've been praying lately, have they been changing you so that you're becoming more like Christ? And these are things really you're the only one that can answer where these goals are. But if you're willing to kind of volunteer the ones or two that you have grown in the most, I'd like to know a little bit about how you saw some of these prayers we just talked about connecting to these goals, how that has helped you. But also, if you, like myself, still kind of struggling maybe with some of these, why that is the case and why that's a little more difficult. You understand some of the questions here? So first of all, just if you could help, if you want to note where you feel like you have grown some in the class. What's helped? Which of these goals has been something you feel like progress has been made for you? And,
yeah, Larry? Number four, be more like Christ in prayer. Never thought about that concept to the degree that we talked about it here before, but searching the scriptures, learning from these prayers from Paul and things like that, make application to be more like Christ, praying for more Christ-likeness in my life and things like that. That's really been a benefit to me. It helped me a lot.
That's good. Michelle?
Along with what Larry is saying, I think this class helps you get more of an outward focus with praying instead of all about you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and maybe number three, too.
Be more aware of the need.
Yes.
Yeah, could you tell in those prayers we went through that Paul did pray for himself?
Mm-hmm.
Did that seem to have much of a theme connected? I mean, you can sense it. More often, if he was concerned about himself, he was asking somebody else to pray for him. And in all those ceaseless, day and night, always, in every prayer, what was the next phrase? For who? For himself?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for whoever he was writing to. You know, that's the people that he was remembering. Very good. Yes, Kathy?
This is just something, I guess not just theory, but... I also think of a lady that I heard pray frequently, I mean, fervently. I was in Denver with my daughter, keeping my grandson, and was walking. That was a man, you know, I mean, just very short. He was hanging from a tree. This man was asking people for help, and people were just walking away.
Mm-hmm.
And then this lady came up. I was there, you know. And this lady came, and this lady prayed for me. I frequently remember her prayers. She was praying fervently for this man, but I thought as she was praying, I remember, you know, biblical principles.
Right.
She was praying somebody she never knew. She had never seen him before, but I remember her asking the Lord to save this man's life and save his soul. And he was a stranger, a homeless person, nobody she had ever seen.
And she probably had no personal way of helping him,
but her prayers, I mean, what she did, she was just praying so fervently for this man. And when the paramedics took him away, she kept asking, is he okay, is he okay? And, you know, based on the paramedics' actions when they took him away, you know, he was breathing, you know, at least. So, but I just often think that I've never seen her. She just prayed so fervently.
Set a good example of that. And I think what we want to take place is you'll see that sometimes, and those kinds of examples will make a powerful impact on you personally. is to let these prayers of Paul to make a similar impact, because he's praying with that kind of prayer, you know, asking people to strive together with him in his prayers. That's the kind of what you witnessed in that fervency is the kind of thing that Paul is doing. It should stand out to us and help us in that, at least in that first go. Where else did you feel some progress? Yes.
No, I feel like I've shifted in my prayers for people, specifically non-believers, who are, I have a lot of people in my family right now who are sick. And it seems like I've shifted from, I will pray for them to be healed, for the doctors and all of that, but I ultimately end on their salvation.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I guess it's the greater awareness of the needs of others, but it's been revamped into what is a real need.
And you can combine the two sometimes, you know, mm-hmm. ask for that to happen, but regardless that it would have a positive effect. Bill, and then...
I think 1, 2, and 3 all kind of drive to, you made that point before, that if you can do the first three, like, it'll make you more like Christ through the effect of your prayers. But, I mean, so, like, greater awareness for the, like, of the needs of others. In my mind, like, when I pray, and I'm praying for people, it's usually for non-Christians, the people I'm studying with, people in other places. And it's interesting, though, like, in most of Paul's prayers, if not all of them, he's praying for Christians. When Jesus prayed, he prayed for Christians. And now he said, pray, like, for those who would believe, because of the words of these guys, but the idea is, like, there's this, like, there needs to, at least for me, like, I've gone in a sense where, like, I'm praying for y'all, because that's just kind of what I've been seeing in these prayers here.
Yeah, and if you're concerned about those that don't believe, if there's a powerful effect on those who do,
mm-hmm.
maybe we'll go out and do what we ought to do, and there's even more great.
I think as far as being made more like Christ, using that initial framework with the adoration and confession at the beginning, has definitely, that process of praying in that manner has been very humbling. So using that, those principles, and doing it more frequently and more fervently, I think is at least more Christ-like in that aspect of who I am.
That's a nice connection, because what you're saying is that your prayer, did you pray that way, your prayer makes you more humble. Shouldn't that be normally the case, that if you really get that you're standing before the Almighty God, all those beings around Him, 24, I mean, constantly, eternally praising Him, and now you kind of slipping in the back door, but He's listening. You've got His attention. If that humbles you, then you're becoming more like Christ, just in the awareness in your prayer itself. I think that's the way those prayers should be changed. What else? What about something that you're struggling with? You may want to acknowledge these four goals. You're going through the class. Where is there some more work to be done?
I mean, still using biblical principles and language in prayer. I think I could. You look through those prayers, and I don't pray like that. Right?
Yeah.
Frequency.
Okay.
I thought by the end I would be praying more, and the stanza seems to be shifted, but not any more frequent.
That's good. And I wonder if sometimes about the fervency of mind. It was interesting. One of the Sundays that we had while we were doing this class, I think it was one where maybe Bill had us pray through the class, and it's been 4 or 5 prayers in here, and then you got a certain number. If you count how many we have in worship, and then we had an elders meeting, and we had prayers. I think by the end of the day, I prayed 18 or 19 times. That's pretty frequent, sort of. Except, of course, the next day might be 1 to 2. You know, you get this big Monday drop-off. But the real question is, how about the fervency? And even if the frequency is there, but that's interesting you said it. I think we just think that'll happen, and sometimes we look back and think, man, I'm really not quite doing that. Other thoughts? Anything about that? Bill mentioned the biblical principles and language. That balance between making sure that we don't start using words that we really don't know exactly what they mean, just so that that prayer sounded more biblical. Especially if you're leading in front of others, you know, that you're not just doing it so it kind of like, wow. But, you know, we read those prayers. They didn't exactly sound like our prayers. There's something to pull out of that.
So before in class in college, we did where we prayed through some of the prayers that you find particularly in Psalms and the Old Testament. And one thing that's pointed out is that when, like here, when it talks about the love of God, it doesn't just say, thank you for the love of God. It says the love of God which. And it makes you think about what the love of God is. So when I pray for things that, you know, for knowledge, which surpasses all of human wisdom, or that you actually think about what that thing is. You're not just saying, give me faith, give me knowledge, give me this, give me that. But instead, you have to mentally understand what, at least to a degree, what
and,
that
and
thing is.
And state to God and acknowledge what the value of that
that's
thing
right,
is.
That's
about.
Right. And that, I think, yeah. helps with that.
And that is true as part of the adoration and praise of Him. Well, enjoyed the class. I hate to see it come to end, Frank.